The Gospel according to Mark, chapter 5, verses 21 through 43. When Jesus had again crossed over by boat to the other side of the lake, a large crowd gathered around him while he was by the lake. Then one of the synagogue rulers, named Jairus, came there. Seeing Jesus, he fell at his feet and pleaded earnestly with him, "My little daughter is dying. Please come and put your hands on her so that she will be healed and live." So Jesus went with him. A large crowd followed and pressed around him, and a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had, yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, because she thought, "If I just touch his clothes, I will be healed." Immediately her bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. At once Jesus realized that power had gone out from him. He turned around in the crowd and asked, "Who touched my clothes?" "You see the people crowding against you," his disciples answered, "and you can ask, 'Who touched me?'" But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet, and trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering." While Jesus was still speaking, some men came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue ruler. "Your daughter is dead," they said. "Why bother the teacher anymore?" Ignoring what they said, Jesus told the synagogue ruler, "Don't be afraid, just believe." He did not let anyone follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they came to the home of the synagogue ruler, Jesus saw a commotion with people crying and wailing loudly. He went in and said to them, "Why all this commotion and wailing? The child is not dead, but asleep." But they laughed at him. After he put them all out, he took the child's father and mother and the disciples who were with him and went in where the child was. He took her by the hand and said to her, "Talitha kum," which means, "Little girl, I say to you, get up." Immediately the girl stood up and walked around. She was 12 years old. At this, they were completely astonished. He gave strict orders not to let anyone know about this and told them to give her something to eat. May the Lord add his blessing to this reading of his holy word. With regard to last Sunday's message, one thing I do hope you could take away from last Sunday is this: the pastor certainly has a passion for God's word. I do. And one of the reasons I have a passion for the Word of God is because the Word of God is life. "Seek the Lord and live," says the Word of God. We are a new congregation. We made that decision based on what we believe about God's Word. The elders and I have been looking to find some phrases that describe Daleville Christian Church, the new Daleville Christian Church. One possibility is this: Daleville Christian Church, where the Word of God helps people help people. Another possibility is this: Daleville Christian Church, where Bible knowledge brings you closer to God. So I thought it would be helpful if I shared with you some of the passages of God's Word that have brought me closer to the Lord, God's words that gave me life, because the Word of God is life. It was in college that I began to seriously read the Bible. Sometime in there, I read the entire Bible. I still recommend that to anyone and everyone. I have some guides copied so you can do just that. Read the Bible in 1 year. Our whole branch of the Christian faith is based on reading the Bible for yourself instead of having someone else tell you what it says. That way you don't have to wonder if that other person told you everything. Today we turn to verses that I have preached to you about before, more than once. Let's see how we do this time. Again, these verses are the focus because the Word of God is life, and I'm sharing with you what words of God's Word that have been life to me. We're focusing, or I asked the worship leader to focus, on Just verse 35 and 36, while Jesus was still speaking, some men came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue ruler. "Your daughter is dead," they said. "Why bother the teacher anymore?" Ignoring what they said, Jesus told the synagogue ruler, "Don't be afraid, just believe." This report is often referred to as a dead girl and a sick woman. Jairus is the little girl's father. Jairus is a Jewish leader in his community. He himself has come to Jesus to ask Jesus to come to his house to heal his daughter who is deathly ill. The Bible says it this way: Jairus, seeing Jesus, fell at Jesus' feet and pleaded earnestly with Jesus. "Please," he cries, "come and put your hands on her so that she will be healed and live." Jairus is pleading for his daughter's life. I have three daughters. I get some of Jairus's pain. And let's notice that Jairus has faith. Jairus apparently has heard of Jesus. Jairus knows that Jesus is a teacher. Jairus has probably heard of Jesus' healing of others. So Jairus is driven by his circumstances to seek out Jesus, to bring Jesus to his house. And I remind you, there is some urgency since Jairus has said that his daughter is dying. So it says, Jesus went with Jairus. There was a crowd following Jesus, and they continued to follow. And in that crowd was a woman who was suffering. She'd been suffering for 12 years. She was hemorrhaging. If any of you have ever suffered any long-term chronic hemorrhaging, any internal bleeding, you can imagine some of the symptoms: weakness, listlessness, inability to do things, maybe trouble staying awake all day. And since the woman was Jewish, she was unclean, unfit to be in the presence of God. Actually, we have no idea how miserable this poor woman's life was. She was probably forced to live alone. She wasn't fit to be in anybody's presence. The law of God stated that everything upon which the woman sits or lies during the hemorrhage shall be unclean. Everything upon which she sits shall be unclean. No one, and certainly no rabbi, no Pharisee that this woman knows, none of them will have anything to do with her. The woman is desperate. She apparently has become, she has come up with a plan. She will find Jesus. She knows Jesus can heal her, but she isn't going to run the risk of putting the rabbi on the spot to heal a woman with a hemorrhage and therefore risk the rabbi becoming unclean ceremonially. She isn't going to embarrass the rabbi by running the risk of touching the rabbi and make the rabbi unclean. No, the woman has decided she can touch just the robe of Jesus, and that will be sufficient to heal her of her hemorrhage. The woman believes that this action will cure her suffering, so that is what she does. The plan works great. The woman is healed immediately. The woman can feel it in her body. But now the woman's plan goes terribly wrong. Jesus now stops and asks, "Who touched my clothes?" Let's look at this from the human side of things. Remember that Jesus was on an emergency run for Jairus and Jairus' daughter. Now Jesus has come to a complete halt. Jesus has come to a complete halt to find out who touched his clothes. And we all know that it was the woman who clearly and plainly did not want to show herself to Jesus or to the crowd or to any rabbi or anyone else who needed to be ritually and spiritually pure. Jairus does not know what is going on or why Jesus can't just continue to get to Jairus' house. The woman does not think she can run from Jesus who healed her. She fell at Jesus' feet, trembling with fear. Trembling with fear. But she told Jesus the whole truth. But Jesus told her, "Go in peace. Your faith has healed you." Now comes really bad news. Men came from Jairus' house, and they said to Jairus, "Your daughter is dead." Then these same men added, "Why bother the teacher anymore?" We'll stop there. I know that many, many people hold the attitude expressed by the men who came from Jairus' house. They said, "Look, it's over. Could there be any reason to trouble the teacher anymore?" When we are honest with ourselves, how many times did we think that some situation was over and there was no point in praying about it anymore? Maybe a diagnosis had come in. Maybe a person's decision to leave us was final. Maybe the boss's words were final. Maybe the other person even said to you, "And that is final." Certainly things look pretty final here, don't they? Not only is the news that the girl has died, the friends offer their free advice. Why bother? Why bother anymore? Then the Bible just flat out says that Jesus ignored what these people said, what these men said. Jesus isn't going to explain anything. Besides, what kind of explanation might make any sense to Jairus? And what about the woman who was just healed and interrupted Jesus from proceeding to the sick girl's house? Is there any explanation that would help her feel better about her part in all this? Jesus ignored what the man said. Jesus spoke to Jairus and said, "Don't be afraid, just believe." Sounds simple, doesn't it? But is it simple? No, it isn't simple. On the one hand, Jairus already believed. Jairus must have believed that Jesus could heal Jairus' daughter. Jairus had said, "My daughter's dying. Please come put your hands on her. She'll be healed and live." Jairus is full of faith. He believed that Jesus could heal. But Jesus said, with the news of the girl's death, "Don't be afraid. Just believe." Believe? Believe what? Believing Jesus could heal is one thing. Jairus already believed that. Believing that Jesus could raise the dead is a whole other matter. Later, in this book of Mark's Gospel, we will read after some people didn't believe that Jesus could raise people from the dead even after Jesus had actually raised someone from the dead. They still didn't believe it. And here Jesus said to Jairus, "Don't be afraid, just believe." On what basis is Jairus to make the leap from believing in Jesus as healer to the level of believing that Jesus can raise the dead? Even Martha and Mary wanted Jesus to come to heal Lazarus and even told Jesus if Jesus had gotten there earlier, Lazarus would be alive. Even Martha and Mary could not move to the level of faith. I have got to wonder what went through Jairus' head when Jesus said, "Just believe." The words recorded in Luke's book adds that Jesus said, "Believe and your daughter will be well." Jairus must have thought, "Well, my daughter's dead. My daughter can't be made well." So I imagine that Jairus in this moment has fallen into a very dark place. It's a game over situation. Jairus did what he could. Jairus had done his best. Jairus was getting help for his daughter, but the report from Jairus' house is, "Why bother anymore?" As if they were saying, "Jairus, buddy, you tried. You did what you could, but now it's too late." So, my friends, I don't know how dark have been the places you've had to live in or spend time in. I don't know how hopeless your situations have ever been. I don't know when you were ready to give up. I don't know when you were ready to quit. Or in my case, when I was ready to run away. Jesus, in speaking to Jairus, draws Jairus' attention to Jesus, and that is the key. Even if others would tell you that it's all over, Jesus is saying, "Look at me." Don't be afraid. Just believe. To put it rather crudely, it isn't over until the Lord says that it's over. You and I already know the end of this report. Jesus went to the room with the dead little girl. Jesus took her by the hand, said to her, Talitha kumi, or Talitha kum. It's an Aramaic phrase. And it says, immediately the girl stood up and walked. The girl was alive again, and she was well. Jesus doesn't just bring people back to life. Jesus brings people back to life in better shape than when they died. You know, it'd be miracle enough to bring the dead back to a state of simply being sick, but Jesus brings people back from the dead fully recovered from that which killed them. Notice that Jesus does this with his words. The apostles knew this, and so they preserved for us the exact wording Jesus used. Since Jesus' wording brought life, they wanted to use the very same words that Jesus used. God's word brings life. Keep focused on Jesus. Never lose sight of Jesus. Whenever it seems that the situation is all over, don't be afraid. Just believe. Here is what I learned. Jairus could hang in there with Jesus. Jairus believed that Jesus could heal, but Jairus really didn't know what Jesus would do, and Jairus didn't know what Jesus could do. And the truth is, when our situations seem hopeless, we are in the same boat with Jairus. We really don't know what the Lord will do, and we really don't know what the Lord can do. We often say that the Lord can do anything, and it's one thing to believe that in a general sense. It's quite something else to believe that when your daughter is dead. Dead after you tried to do everything to get daughter well. We often say, oh, the Lord can do anything. And it's one thing to believe that in a general sense. And it's quite something else to believe that when your daughter is dead. Dead after you did everything you could to get her well. Jairus just walked the rest of the way to Jairus' house with Jesus. When Jesus told Jairus, just believe, Jairus didn't argue with Jesus. Jairus didn't ask a lot of questions, didn't ask any questions. He didn't say, what do you mean? What are you talking about? Jairus didn't hang back. Jairus didn't take the side of his friends coming from the house who said, why bother? Why bother the teacher? Why bother? Jairus did not repeat that. Jairus didn't say, why bother, Jesus? Jairus didn't take their side of things. Jairus went with Jesus. You, my friends, can go with Jesus, just like Jairus did. You can keep your eye on Jesus. Wait for Jesus if you have to wait. Walk with Jesus if you have to walk. Go with the Lord Jesus Christ. There with Jesus are words of life. Amen.